Hi, this is Pastor Chuck Allen, and welcome back to another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. It is Wednesday, hump day, and you're closing in as we head down the stretch to finish up the week. If you remember, Sunday we were talking about Acts. We were talking about how our modern day life and our 2016 American church, how could it mimic and look more like the first century church, where we knew what to pray, we knew where to preach and what to preach, and we knew what to do. Well, when you look at this, I think many times what happens to us in the church, whether you're a church leader, a pastor, whether you're an attender or a member, whatever your perspective is on the church, often I have found that pride seems to be the greatest challenge in the life of our church. When people ask me, what do you think is the greatest challenge ahead for Sugar Hill Church? The greatest challenge is me. I'm often the person in the way. I'm often the wrong person to lead because I can be filled with pride, can't you? Now, let me just stop and say, if you just heard that and said, oh, that's great, I can take today off because I'm not prideful, you definitely need to listen to this. So let's go back to the Old Testament book of Daniel as we work through Acts. Doesn't that sound weird? How do you take the fifth book in the New Testament and go all the way back to an Old Testament passage in Daniel to see what that looks like? Well, Monday we did that, and we were talking about fear and what we've got to do to have a radical trust. Today, let's talk about pride and what it looks like when we are humbled. So in Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 37, the scripture says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Don't you love that last thing? Those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Don't you know that's true? Aren't there times when you have truly been humbled? Pride will inevitably give way to humility. It may not happen overnight, and it may have to follow a painful process because pride can be very, very stubborn. Like an embedded splinter deep in the flesh of your foot, pride is really hard to remove. You can't remove it alone, so there may be constant throbbings of pain until pride is extracted. You ever had that where you... I remember as a kid living in Florida, you'd get one of those little cockaburs that would get into your feet, and sometimes they'd grab that kind of loose skin between your toes and they'd stick in there, and man, it hurt. You know, this is the way pride is. You think you can make it across that grass in Daytona Beach with bare feet, and then you hit one of those and you're a reminder, I can't do this, that there's a better way to do this. This is the plight of pride. Pain and suffering are what goes along with it. I mean, where hand goes in glove, suffering and pain goes in with pride. Pride provides all of us, I guess, a false sense of security, though spiritually minded people know it's only a matter of time before the fall will catch up with you. Humility may have once been a staple in your spiritual diet, but success may have squelched your humility and subtly replaced it with pride. Authority without accountability generates one thing all the time, and that is pride. The more authority we possess, the more we are required to submit to accountability. I've said it 100 times in my 5 years at Sugar Hill Church, but I'll say it again. Focus on the Family did a study of 400 ministry leaders who lost their ministry and most of them their families because of making poor moral choices. And the one commonality among all 400 is they were accountable to nobody. Friend, listen, humility builds security and pride tears it down. The humble have nothing to hide, so root out pride and replace it with humility. You know what I found that comes with humility? Brokenness, hurt, loss, heartache. The hard things in life seem to follow in the path of humility. They also seem to be those people who are wisest, more gracious, and more generous. The process of pride's removal begins when we submit our lives to Jesus. It's the acknowledging that he is Lord and he owns us because he's paid for us. He is in control. He is large and in charge. Nothing in your life has snuck up on God. He can be trusted. He holds your life, your family, your health, your career, all in the palm of his hand. And he can be trusted, radically trusted. He holds your life. He is the one that has you. He is to be both feared and loved. Feared in that I am in awe of who he is. Loved in that he first loved you and wants the best for you. God is for you. You have the awesome opportunity to worship and adore that God. And when you walk with God, you walk with humility. Pride doesn't coexist in a growing relationship with Jesus. Pride is extinguished in the presence of Jesus. Pride is like a roach lurking in the dark recesses of our heart. And the Holy Spirit's light reveals pride and convicts us during times of prayer and scripture meditation. You know, an offense to pride is praying people. Think about that. An offense to the problem of pride is praying people. Ask people to pray for humility to infiltrate and occupy your life. And you say, well, Chuck, I don't want to do that. If it comes hand in glove with like pain and suffering, what do I want this for? You see, because when we humble ourselves to others, yet trust God to humble others, it's easy to recognize pride in everybody while it's still looming in our own heart. So let me ask you, be a change agent on behalf of the humble. And what you'll read in 1 Peter chapter 5 is this: all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Hey, Jenny just walked in the door, and she's ready to eat something. So everybody say, hi, Jenny. Hi, Jenny. We'll see you Friday. Bye now.